evening, and it's a privilege to gather on Wednesday evenings. I woke up in the morning, I'm not saying it to sound spiritual, but I was thinking already about the evening in the morning when I was going to work, and I was singing in my car. Actually, I was singing while I was walking to my car, and then when I was sitting in the car, I could sing loud, as loud as I wanted. I was also thinking about those thoughts that I'm going to share now. This is something, not exactly, but something that I heard from Pastor Teplov in Kiljapa. And so I knew, I was thinking about these thoughts. Then I went home, I opened up my notebook. I didn't even have to open it. It's an old notebook. It was open right there on top of my desk. I didn't even have to flip anywhere, it was right there. So, let's pray one more time and go to the Word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Bible. Thank you for instruction and guidance, light for our feet. Thank you for correction when we need correction. Thank you that this Word is able to keep us, this Word is able to guide us all the way. Lord, thank you that you didn't leave us alone when you left, but you gave us the Word and the Spirit. We ask that you bless these thoughts now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I was thinking about flying airplanes. It's very dangerous. And we are very aware of this danger because there are flight crashes from now and then. And the Bible speaks about our life as something short and something fragile. Actually, this is rule number one about flying. The only thing that is sure about flying is landing, right? Everything that goes up has to come down sometime. And it's kind of the same about us. Everybody who is born must die once. We are only passing through in this life. We are not staying long. And we don't know when this time comes to an end. And how do we fly then? In the early days of aviation, there were very few instruments. And there were many crashes that were related to the fact that they could not orientate themselves in the air. And this is something very interesting for me, because how do I make decisions in this life? How do I know up and down, left and right, right and wrong in this life? We would like to fly by sight and by our own senses many times. This feels natural. This is what I think that I should do. And we hear these things often. I must do what I feel I want to do. I must follow my own heart. And if somebody flies without instruments, they have to rely on their sight, what they see. And maybe their senses. Am I tilting to the left or to the right? Am I going upwards or downwards? How do I know? And the feeling, you might argue that it works for the most part, or to some degree. But then there are limitations. And once somebody paid for me to go up in a little airplane, actually it was here in Sweden, and they wanted to show me the sea, but there were clouds above the sea, so we flew straight into the clouds, and I got so messed up. I was never that sick in my life, just throwing up in a plastic bag. And because you don't see anything, it's only gray everywhere. There's some movement, but you don't know which way you're going. There's no way to tell, because you don't have a point of reference. So we had to turn around very quickly and land and my stomach was still bad like the whole time the rest of the day, and the next day I also felt a little bit weak in my knees. That was very funny. I always thought that I would love going up in the little plane, but that was not the case. So, just to read a little word, Psalm 119 verse 25. We don't read it, but it's a good one. My soul clings to the dust, right? This is the principle. The airplane will always land. It will come down to the earth. But are we going to land or are we going to crash? That's the question. Our natural life clings to the dust. We are made of the earth. And the natural man, like Jesus describes it in John 3, that which is born of the flesh is only flesh, right? And in this verse, the soul clings to the, all my inclinations, all my desires, everything that I am and what I long for is connected to this earth. And I can't detach myself. That's very, very hard, very difficult. So that's a... We can say this is the force of gravity in our lives that wants to pull us down. So I said that in the early days of aviation there were a few crashes that were related to not having instruments. There were other crashes which were because the planes were poorly constructed in the very beginning, mechanical failure and such. Then also hitting other airplanes. Crashing into other planes. And I'm just thinking, like, I don't want to take this analogy too far, but if we think about our lives, there are many dangers also. As we navigate through this life, there are these things. What is my life made of? Is my plane safe? Is it good enough for flying? What is my soul constructed of? My thoughts, my knowledge, my conscience, how is my conscience trained? Who is, then this is the other thing, there's flight control nowadays, radars, and people sitting in rooms and watching every plane in the sky, making sure that they know where they are and directing them. Who is directing me? Is there anybody? Or do I think that I'm just fine, just flying around like that, leaning on my own eyes? And then, so Psalm 119:25 was my soul clings to the dust. Then Proverbs 14:12, it's a very serious warning, but I think it's good to know, because this life is dangerous by nature. So Proverbs 14. Verse 12, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There are things that we might want to do. There are decisions that we might want to take or make because we don't know the end. And we don't fly alone for the most part. The early days, those planes were just one... for one person, but why flight crashes are so tragic nowadays is because those planes are big. And you know, the latest catastrophe in the French Alps, when a pilot took 150 person souls with himself in death. That's a tragedy. We want to think that we are only responsible for ourselves, but maybe my flight has an effect on many other people, many other souls. I don't want to go too far, like I said, with this plane thing, but all I'm trying to say is this. How do I know the way? How do I know my orientation? How do I know right and wrong in this life? And the answer is, I cannot rely on my own senses. And so this is the next verse we are coming to. Proverbs 3:5. and everybody knows this, or many of you know, I'm going to turn there still because I want to read it right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Our understanding is limited, and whether it's right or wrong depends on the source of learning. My feelings are subjective, and my senses, I don't even have enough senses to make a decision about everything. So just like it's dangerous to fly by sight only, it's dangerous to live my life according to my own feelings. And this was something that really helped airplane or security in the air, when they decided that the pilot must always fly according to the instruments, what the instruments show. This is what we need to do as well. And we are equipped. We have instruments. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. What my heart would tell me that I should do. What common sense dictates that might not be the right thing. There are just clouds and I don't know. This is, when I was younger, I was interested in flying, and I had some friends who flew like little, are they called gliders, which don't have any engine, and they told that, of course they don't have many instruments there, but they were constructed so in that time at least, that the wing separated from the fuselage at the speed little over 200 kilometers per hour. and they said that when you are in a cloud, you can only see the speed. That's the only instrument they had. you have to get out because you don't know where it's up and where it's down. And if you start accelerating downwards, then there's this danger that the wind will just detach from the plane. So that was a long time ago. But anyways, I just I always think about this. You need the instruments. You need the instruments if you can see. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I made a little note here. Sometimes we trust the Lord. And sometimes we trust Him wholeheartedly. Sometimes we trust Him with He's my backup plan. I'm not wholehearted in my trust. I'm half-hearted. But He wants us, this is His desire, that we trust Him with all our heart. And we have all the reason to do so. When we had guests on Sunday, we could give them our testimonies, how God has been faithful to us. And that was very edifying, actually, for me also to listen. Casey was speaking quite much. And to hear, yeah, that's right, this is what God has done. Yeah, that's right, He showed Himself there. Yeah, that's right, He was faithful when we needed this, when we needed that. Yeah, when we prayed, He answered. And we feel like we can trust Him because He guides us, He leads us. Then the next thought that I have is that correction is a good thing. How do I trust the Lord? I didn't specify it. It sounds good and true, but what does it mean to trust the Lord? And I would argue that first of all, it's His word that we trust, right? He is not here among us physically. We cannot speak to Him. He doesn't speak with an audible voice. There's nobody who can meet Him and ask for His advice. So how can we trust Him? He trusts the word that He gave to us. He trusts His revelation that we have, that has been proven trustworthy. So One is the Word, then the Spirit. We know that He left us the Spirit so that we wouldn't be orphans in this world. And then there's the Church, I would say. Nobody lives in a vacuum, but we have people around us. And when my instruments are not right, theirs might be right. It's very important, I think. The Word is there, first of all. Then the Spirit, who interprets the Word for me and says Amen and leads me. Then people around me who are also filled with the Spirit, who can help me and guide me. But I said correction is a good thing. When I try to fly by sight, and I'm not exactly sure if I'm heading the right way, I need to look at the compass, I look at the instrument. And I don't know why it's so difficult for us, but I think many of us don't like correction. We think that it's something bad. We take it so personal. Oh, you mean that I'm wrong? You mean that I'm wrong? How can I be wrong? I think that it's right. I feel that it's right. Correction is not evil. It's a very good thing. And it happens even to the best of the best. I think that I'm going the right way, and I have to correct myself a little bit. And this happens actually all the time. And it's a very good thing. And we read one more portion. This is also a very well-known one. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, speaks about the Word, the revelation that we have from God. It says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And I like this. The Scripture is our instrument. Like we said first, it's good for teaching us. It shows me something, tells me something for the very first time. That's learning, right? Teaching. I hear something from the very first time. Then for reproof, I say something and I think it's right, but I check it to see that it is. And I say, yes, it is. So I go on. And correction is that I think that I'm correct, so I check it, and it shows that I'm not. So then I have to correct myself. And for training in righteousness, I like that. Are we trained in doing right? We train in it, just like we train our bodies, we train ourselves also in righteousness, to walk in righteousness. We know righteousness, but also to walk in it, to know it, and to walk in it, to recognize it, to be able to recommend it, to be able to teach it, and to walk in it. We are trained in it through the Scripture. We see other righteous people's lives, for example. I always thought that examples are important. It's not only about knowledge, abstract knowledge, this is good, this is not so good, this is right, this is what you should do. But to see righteousness implemented in people's lives, to see examples, what it meant for them to follow God, what God told them, how He led them, how He was faithful to them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's this is one more reason for a local church, if anybody is not committed to a local church. I can recommend it because we see how other people follow God. We see how they live a righteous life. We see what decisions they make. And that's I know certainly that I have learned a lot through other people's examples. And many times we don't know when we imitate them, but then we maybe at some point we realize, yeah, I do this because my father did this also. This is how he trained me when I was a child. Or I do this because I have seen other people in the church do this, and it has become part of my life. So if we fly, we want to have a safe landing, right? We cannot trust our own senses to get orientated. We need the instruments, and that the instrument is the Word of God. There's nothing else. Everything else is subjective on this earth. I took part in a debate on Metro. Sometimes I just read things that make me angry, and this time I even joined in, and it was about homosexuality. And I just commented on it, how I am so amazed to see what arguments I read on the thread, why it's okay, why it's right. And all of those were subjective arguments. Along the lines that, well, if they cannot change, then nobody can require them to change. If they think it's okay, then it is okay. And I don't want to go that way. We know what the Bible teaches about these things. We also know that we are not slaves to our own inclinations, our own drives in this life. Christ came to give us supernatural life, a new man instead of the natural man. And this new man is perfect, and he understands the thoughts of God. He doesn't follow the flesh into corruption and death, but it is actually renewed day by day to the likeness of his maker. So we don't follow our feeling, but we have something objective, and that's the Word. And then we also said that that correction is a good thing, and that the Word can correct us. And then to finish, I read Jude, because we are actually the ones who will be the exception of the rule. We said in the beginning that everything that flies must come down. But actually, at the end of our lives, Christ wants us to fly, to go to Him, and we are never going to return to this earth again. Actually, that will be a separation from the body that clings to the dust, and we are only going to be heavenly beings, just like our God is. So, the time comes when He is going to take us, and we will never return to this earth, and that will be beautiful. So I read Jude, and there's only one chapter here. Well, I didn't turn there yet, so I have to do that. Jude, verse 24 and 25 says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling or crashing, and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." And this is a great promise. He is able to keep you from stumbling. He is able to keep you from falling, and to present you blameless before Him. This life is dangerous. It's full of, I wouldn't say opportunities, like danger to fall. But he can keep us, and He's able to keep us from that. So with that confidence, we don't have to be afraid. He has given us the instruments. He is also the one who directs our flight. And also, he upholds us, and at the end, He's going to take us to Him. So these are the thoughts that I had. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we are not left to our own senses alone when we have to make decisions. Thank you that you have made us wise in everything, in this life and the next one to come. Lord Jesus, thank you for the Word. Thank you for its power to equip us to train us and to correct us. Lord, we want to receive the word. Give it to us abundantly. Jesus. Thank you for our fellowship also. Thank you for those of us who are gathered here. Thank you for your body. Thank you that we can be there for each other, to look out for each other. Bless the rest of the evening. Bless your people wherever they are. In your name.